Bitch, please.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is 4 April 30th, 2024. My name is Ernie Burns, sitting right over there. Leave her alone. Just leave her alone, would you? It's Ashley. Hi, Ashley. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, the Finn intro for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That always raises my morning.
No, I need that. So here's where I am, Ash. I get to see you tomorrow. We are on the road one more day today. And tomorrow I get to see you. But I'm in that phase of travel where I'm just sitting there looking at photos of you guys over and over and over again.
it's always hard when you travel. I think this was a very important trip for you to make, but I always miss having you here. And I'm sorry that we didn't come with you, but right now the idea of having a tiny toddler on an airplane for 10 hours. There are some things that I'm capable of handling, and that's not one of them. So here we remain.
I had dinner last night with some of my oldest friends, and I was just had the phone out, and I was just showing them photos of everything, like the kids, the lambs, everything. And I couldn't wait to get back. Somebody asked me a really interesting question. She asked me, she said, are you sick of it yet? Like the whole idea of going off and living in Scotland, we've been doing it now for 4 years. And she goes, has it gotten old? Are you getting sick of it at all? You know, which is, no one's ever asked that question. I thought it was a great question. And my answer was no. And I told her that thing that we do where you and I will just randomly, almost it feels like every day, turn to each other and say like, we did it. We're here. And we love it. We're exactly where we want to be.
Yeah, every day we count ourselves fortunate. And I think that there was initially some adjustment to just, you know, you get a different lifestyle. And there are things that that are great about the new lifestyle. And there's things that take a little getting used to. And so there's always that sort of, you know, you have a couple of rough days. You get through them. And then you get your really great days. And you just stand there and say, I'm so lucky to be where I am. And I think that every day now is I just think, how lucky are we?
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as looking at pictures of you, I want to say something really quickly. I really, really like my wife, and her birthday's coming up. It's May 3rd. So don't forget, everyone, May 3rd, watch Jerry Seinfeld's Unfrosted on Netflix.
I think that's also the day the new Ryan Gosling movie, the one where he's a stuntman, what's called Fall Guy, comes out. So happy birthday to me.
Oh, what a special day. And also it just happens to be your birthday. But I really, really like my wife. And I'm going to reveal something really lame about myself, which is, you know, sometimes you're, you know, in bed and you're on your phone and you can see what your spouse is browsing. There's a lot of times where Ashley has caught me on my phone in bed next to her going through my phone, looking at photos of her, like looking at Google image searches of her. And she's like, I'm right here in the bed next to you. And I'm like, I like to look at photos of you. It's what I like to do.
You're so lame. I love you.
But the drop today from the top of the show is her name is now Kara Cunningham. When she recorded that video, that was not her name. She has gone through a transition. That Leave Britney Alone video was recorded back in 2006. And I can't believe it was that long ago. She's Kara Cunningham is a really interesting person because she went viral for this video that she recorded of herself crying and wailing and like rolling around in her sheets and just screaming at the world to leave Britney alone. And what I find interesting about her is A, she was way ahead of the curve on like, how are we going to treat, you know, public celebrities who are going through a crisis. But then also because she went viral for being like so over the top emotional about like what was basically a gossip issue at the time. But putting those emotions online, she seemed like an outlier, but now it's like most of the internet is like that all the time. Like she was almost from the future, you know, a person coming back and recording a viral meme about just like something affecting her that really shouldn't affect her on such a deep level. But she was clearly going through something. I'm talking about Kara Cunningham here, not Britney Spears, who was also going through something at the time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting that it seems like people are almost much more involved in celebrity lives and celebrity welfare, I guess, than ever before. It seems like there's everything happening with Britney Spears and her ongoing, how would I say it, mental health crises. But then there's also recently there was a documentary about the abuse happening at Nickelodeon with all the like child stars. And I didn't watch it because I feel a little bit weird when I come across those things, almost like, well, there was one person who I guess declined to be interviewed for the Nickelodeon documentary. And someone asked them why they declined the interview. And they said, well, these people are just trauma tourists. And that term probably like encompasses how I feel about a lot of it is I don't want to feel like a trauma tourist. Like I'm standing there watching the train wreck and finding that entertaining. It feels wrong to me to be entertained by it.
You know, I have to say too, it's people probably know it really well by now, but during that 2006 era when Kara Cunningham posted her video, there was also the famous Scottish American talk show host Craig Ferguson posted or not posted, but made an incredible monologue about Britney Spears as part of his late night show. And it was great. He talked about his own experiences of struggling with not necessarily mental health, but more like addiction issues and needing help in his life and how he wasn't going to make any jokes about Britney Spears. And when you watch the monologue, it's to me one of the most important moments to ever occur on television. When you watch that monologue, he even struggles to get through it at the beginning because he says, I'm not going to make any jokes about Britney Spears. And people are like, oh, my God, he's about to joke about Britney Spears. And they start laughing. He's like, no, calm down. He's like, it's not a lecture or anything like that, but it's an important, like, revealing open moment about his own life, which then he empathetically applies to somebody else. And it's like, gosh, I wish we just had more of that in general. You know, I feel like a lot of times people just like wade into the fray and, you know, just offer their opinion. And then later on, they figure out maybe I shouldn't have, you know, gotten involved with that. It's like after a while, we should have enough experience to know, like, maybe we shouldn't get involved with this situation. You know, other than to offer support where we can.
Yeah, it's all too easy to get caught up in the emotional tide. And then you realize later, like, oh,
yeah, oops. Well, I am. I'm going to be back with you today. I'm traveling back to see you. At the end of my day today, I will get to see you. And I cannot wait, Ashley. I am very, very excited about it. I do have a funny travel story on the way down. Uh-oh. Do you have time for a little travel story?
I do. Go ahead. Hit me.
I ran into a person that I could never be this person, but I greatly admire her. I ran into an older lady, and I didn't have any direct encounter. Well, I had like slight direct encounter with her, but she was this person where she was one of those main character types. And when you're traveling, you run into lots of lines. This lady did nothing to do with lines at all. I never heard her say a word. She never said anything to me, but I first noticed her when I was looking at a sign to see my times. And then she came up like from my right. She came up and stood literally right in front of me. Like there was space on either side. She could have stood there and she stood right in front of me. And I was like, okay, this lady's just standing right in front of me. Then we went to security and we were putting our stuff in the little bins and all this. And there was a line to then go through the metal detector. Right. And it was probably like 6 or 7 people long. Sometimes that gets delayed because somebody gets flagged or something like that. So we're just waiting for your turn. And she walks up to the line. She'd finished putting her stuff in her bins and it went through the x-ray. She just walks right down past literally every single person, goes to the front of it, goes to the guy at the front, says something to him and points at the x-ray machine. Like my bags have already gone through, and then just walks through like ahead of the guy. I watched her. I watched her do this. I got fascinated with her. I watched her do this in like 2 or 3 other situations of just like stepping in front of people and not giving a shit and people not really having enough time to react and say like, get the hell out of here. And the weird thing was she had a husband with her. They looked like they had been married like most of their lives. And he was like looking down at his feet the whole time, you know, wouldn't talk to anybody, wouldn't acknowledge anybody else. And he just like followed in her wake. And I was just like, this lady lives in a completely different world than the rest of us. You know what I mean? And I would love to be the person who just doesn't give a shit, doesn't care about social situations, but I could just never do it. I could never, ever do it in a million years.
Can I tell you what gets me about that is the sheer practicality? So she goes through the x-ray machine. God. But Bernie, she still has to wait for her stuff to come through after all the people whose stuff, like all the people that she just passed, their stuff is coming through before her. So practically speaking, what did acting like an entitled dickhead do for her?
I think she just stays within range of her stuff. Like, she doesn't even have the inconvenience of thinking like, oh, I'm waiting in line while my stuff goes through the x-ray. You know, it won't be sitting in there waiting for her. She will just be ready to collect it whenever it comes through. And by the way, I should also point out, we're out of practice for traveling ourselves too. Like, maybe something has changed since COVID, where now it's like survival of the fittest at the front of the lines and just step in front and no problems whatsoever.
Well, we also now are less smooth than we used to be on account of wrangling children.
Oh, God. Yeah, that adds a whole level of complexity to it. But I just like, they're very rare that you run into that person, like, where you can tell they just don't care about that stuff. They don't like, they're just going to try to like get as much out of every single situation as they can, even if it seems like they're risking a lot or putting so much more effort into just not following the rules to just get a little bit ahead, just a little bit ahead. It's that same thing of like when somebody cuts you off in the parking lot. But then when you're walking into the place, they hold the door open for you, you know, that kind of a thing. It's just like, or the situation where like somebody will freak out and like pass your car and then you catch up with them like 100 feet later at the red light. You know, they risk this incredible thing passing your car in a blind curve only to end up at a red light and you're right behind them. Like they have saved 0.7 seconds at that point in time. You know, anyway, I was just fascinated by her. On yesterday's podcast, we had Mr. Gavin Free. It was good to see him. That was actually an episode that we had recorded before. Somebody in the comments had said it was pretty clear because we weren't talking about current events and some of the things that we referenced had happened a month or so ago. And somebody said they probably were holding this episode for when they ran out of content. It's like, no, Ashley and I just, we record episodes and then, you know, if we have a good time to put something out, we'll put it out. And there are some things that we've held for a little while, but also we just want to have it for a day where like I'm traveling and we don't have to deal with the remote setup and everything like that. So this is not a podcast where banked episodes usually make a lot of sense, but in this case it did because I was here in Austin with him.
Yeah, because so, and it, you know, it was kind of nice as well. So on Friday, you flew yourself into the final Rooster Teeth live stream and were there to say goodbye with everyone. And then honestly, from my perspective, just having that nice, casual, lovely chat with Gavin on Monday, it felt, you know, it felt like really nice. It felt really comfortable. And I thought it was a nice palate cleanser because obviously anyone who caught that Rooster Teeth live stream is, you know, quite an emotional roller coaster saying goodbye to a company that's been around for so, so long and saying goodbye to so many people when you're not sure, you know, which people you might see again and which you are now seeing for the last time. And so it's nice to follow that with you two just being ridiculous, talking about cleaning your butts or putting on socks.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good to see. I also had a guy in the comments say like they thought, oh, they're sticking it to the parent company one last time. They're flying Bernie in just to appear, you know, on 10 minutes of the stream. I want to be clear. I paid for myself to go. There was nobody paid my way. There was no like subterfuge of any kind. So it was really good to be there. I was told it was going to be very celebratory and there wouldn't be, you know, people were at a point where there weren't going to be a lot of tears. And I was like, I bet we'll see. And sure enough, it was like 6 hours. I think that Barb and Carrie were up there just, you know, seeing everyone from the company and everyone, you know, dealing with it and 21 years. But then also the fact that a lot of these people are going to be out of a job in, what, a week at this point? You know, I know it's gone on for a long time for a lot of people, but this is a hard thing for a lot of the people involved. And I was really glad I could go, glad I could be there. And, you know, for the last ever production of Rooster Teeth, there's still some things coming out. Red versus Blue comes out in 7 days at this point.
Wow, that's so
the
close.
The last... they call it the season of Red versus Blue. I don't really call it that. Originally was started as like a special, a long special, you know, and it kind of grew a little bit from there to be about the same length as a movie. But I guess it's still referred to as a season, but Red versus Blue Restoration is coming out in a week. And then some other podcasts that have been recorded are coming out before the whole thing wraps up. But I'm very excited to see what everybody does next. I was lucky enough to hear some people's plans. I could see the excitement and the optimism that they have of going kind of into the unknown. And I'm excited for them, and I can't wait to see it. I'm actually a little bit excited for myself too, because I get to see them as independent artists, which a lot of the people, I haven't really gotten a chance to see that before, because Rooster Teeth has always been a constant in their life, you know, for artists and for people who watch the shows as well. So I'm really excited to see what happens next with them.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I'm so glad that you were there. I'm so glad that you're going to be coming home. Bernie, you've missed out on so much weird ass tech headlines. I don't know if we'll have time to cover them all today, but I can't wait to tell you about Boston Dynamics got their robot dog a furry costume, and also a crypto company just bought a brain chip maker.
Oh, yeah. So that was a furry costume that they put on that?
I mean, I don't know.
Is that what that was?
It looks like it. So there's a video that Boston Dynamics put out of their robot dog, and they got their dog a blue, like, sparkly dog costume, and I think they're calling it Sparkles. And they put out a video of the dog Spot and Sparkles dancing, and it's like, look, it's not scary. That's not true. It's so much scarier.
Right. The fact that his name Sparkles somehow doesn't make it less scary. It makes it more like a character from Five Nights at Freddy's.
Look like a character of Five Nights at Freddy's. On a related note, apparently that movie, very quietly, huge success.
Yeah, I heard that. And I even heard that, you know, that people who went to see it didn't understand the history behind it. And they went into a movie theater with lots of people yelling at the screen and shouting memes and things like that. So, yeah, there was a lot of people who probably went into that blind and got introduced to a universe they didn't even know existed.
And they're like, please, can I leave now? Yeah, I think the scariest types of games that I play willingly is BioShock. To just set the level of what I consider scary and how easy I am to get.
BioShock reminds me of the modifications, which you were just talking about too, that a crypto company is now making a brain chip. I don't know, man. That's nice that company got involved with that, because I think that's a great Venn diagram of two things that some people don't want anything to do with ever. You know, I can't imagine if we're going to get to this point where we have brain chips, Ashley, and these are actually on the market and I consider it, it's not really going to be like a competitive market for me. Like, I'm not going to go out and shop for the best deal on a brain chip. Like, price isn't going to be a huge consideration there for which brain chip I decide to use. I'm probably going to choose the brain chip that fried the least amount of people's neurons. That's what I'm going to make my consumer choice based on. Not like, oh, this one's 20% off today.
This one is interesting because it's a... So this crypto company, Tether, which I had not heard of Tether before, but here we are talking about crypto Tether.
I know Tether.
Yeah, they just invested $200 million in a company called BlackRock Neurotech that makes brain chips for... neural implants, I guess is the proper term, that for controlling computers. And here, this is an important one, is prosthetic limbs without actually moving. So that's, you know, and that's something that that they talked about with Neuralink as well, is being able to, you know, offer some sort of motion and control of the world back to people who have lost it either through paralysis or loss of limb, et cetera. And so there are like these really cool possibilities. And then they're... The problem is they're being handled by a crypto company or Elon Musk. Take your pick.
Yeah, right. Which one do you want to go for? You know, I don't know, man. I'm so far away from even considering doing that. Like, it would be something where it probably will be someone that I care about talking about getting one way before I ever consider about doing it myself. You know, probably somebody younger in the family as well who's more comfortable with technology. And I that'll be a moment where I'm just like, please don't do this. Please just wait like another 5 years. No matter how far out that is, my solution will always be, let's just wait another 5 years on this, if that's okay.
Sure.
Well, I did see, you know, Colorado is staying ahead of all this because the state of Colorado just passed a ruling that new law that you can't record or scan people's brainwaves without their permission.
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Is that what that was?
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's specifically about biometrics. It's specifically you can't harvest like a brainwave biometric data. So it actually doesn't necessarily apply to brain-computer interfaces. like Neuralink or something, but it does mean that you can't just take someone's brain pattern, like identifiable brain pattern, and use that without permission. So it is forward thinking, but also I didn't know that was a thing.
Right. It's like those laws we talked about when somebody puts a law in place and the law scares the hell out of you because like, what is this a thing? Like when they said they can't put cameras inside of an Airbnb anymore, we're gonna make it so you can't put those cameras. The host can't put cameras inside their Airbnb accommodations anymore. And so you're like, there are cameras inside of Airbnb accommodations? That's all I can think about.
Exactly.
And with this one, it would be hilarious to me, Ashley, if the law went into place in like the end of May. And then the next day, somebody like IKEA announces, hey, we can no longer do business in Colorado. It's like, wait, why? IKEA, what are you doing?
IKEA, what are you trying to tell us? It's Bernie. It's in the meatballs.
Yeah, we're just all meatballs to IKEA, actually, I suppose.
Well, speaking of delicious brain meatballs, I would like to thank today's sponsors for Morning Somewhere, Demir Zaharovic and Weakest.
That was one of the toughest segues I've ever heard in my life. All right, well, we will be back in person tomorrow together to talk to you all. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.